we'd open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 13. Oh, I could just shout just thinking about verses 1, 2 up through 13 about God electing us and predestinating us before the foundations of the world. Just think, just a handful of people throughout the world scattered here, scattered there, and we're part of that. That we're in His thoughts before the foundations of the world. Well, we read from verse 13, in whom ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, notice you heard it, then you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, notice faith revelation, in the Lord Jesus, and your love, which is an outward expression, unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance are in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that dwelleth all in all. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we're so excited, Lord, to know that we are part of that great plan where You have come and actually You have given us Your name. You said, I no longer call you church, I call you bride. And therefore the whole host of heaven is named Jesus, and we are part of that becoming Your body, the body in which Your fullness dwells. And so, Father, we are thankful that You have come down in this hour in the fullness to actually indwell us and to indwell us with Your Word, first of all, Your Spirit, and Lord, then to quicken our mortal beings. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. We ask that Your process would continue. We know it will, because You have spoken it in Your Word. And so, Father, we just pray that it would continue in each of us. And now, Father, we commit ourselves to that great understanding which You have given to us, and we ask that You would bless it in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just don't know where to begin this morning. I'm really excited about our message because when I look at it and look at what He's doing when we see let me just say this, that Brother Paul, he says here, that the eyes of your understanding, and we know that, or the eyes of your heart, and we know that the heart represents understanding, so that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you might know. And that's the whole purpose then of the ministry of the Lord Himself to send you with a shout, is to give us an understanding, to give us a knowledge. See, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, as at all times, has been for one purpose. Not to do miracles, not to put on a show, because remember, Brother Branham even got chastised by the Holy Spirit for putting on a show. He said, you're making a show of it. That's not what it's all about. It's to teach. It's so that we might know. And so we find from the message adoption, Brother Branham is quoting here in Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 20, and Brother Branham quoted the same scripture, and he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, and then he says, I heard that you believe this stuff. I heard that you really believe in predestination, and in eternal life, and salvation, and so forth, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. And so Brother Branham, popping back and forth out of the scripture, he reads the scripture, and he's explaining it to us, and he says, and I heard you believe this stuff, and I heard that you really believe in predestination, eternal life, and salvation, and so forth, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, and cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Just keep revealing Himself to you all the time, growing from grace unto grace, from power unto power, glory unto glory, not fall back, but from glory unto glory, keep moving on. And I'll keep praying for you, that the eyes of your understanding, you know, the Bible said that you were blind and didn't know it. But here Paul says, I'm going to pray that your eyes of understanding, you understand with your heart, and that's what he's talking about. You look with your eyes, but you see with your heart. You know that, alright? that the God of glory, let's see that, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. They say the power is gone. The power hasn't even arrived yet. Wow. Who believes according to the working of His mighty power. You who have believed in the working of His mighty power, I just pray that God will just pour out His power upon you. See? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, and that every name that is named. Oh, for no, we could sure take the rest of the night right on this. That every name that is named, not only in this world, but that in the world to come. What is every? What's every name of? Every person will bear the name of what? The congregation says Jesus. The whole heavenly family's named Jesus. The whole church is named Jesus. Everything is named Jesus, for it's the only name that God ever had. He's called Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provided sacrifice, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah, the Lord's banner, Manasseh, and Jehovah, different Jehovahs, and He's called the Morning Star, He's called Father, He's called Son, He's called Holy Ghost, He's called Alpha, He's called Omega, He's called Beginning, He's called the Ending, He's called the Branch, oh, He's called all kinds of titles, but He had but one name. And that's what Matthew was talking about when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Not in names, but in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost is not a name, it's a title to a name. It's a name of three attributes that belong to one God. What was His name? The angel said, thou shalt call His name, and the congregation says, Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin. That's the reason that they all baptize that way in the Bible. That's how St. Augustine baptized the King of England about 150 years or 200 years after the Church of Christ, after the death of Christ in the name of Jesus. All right? Far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and has given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Now, if my body has the power over all things, then what my body is what I am. Is that right? That's what I am. That's what you know me as. Is that right? Well, then, all that God was, He poured into Jesus, for He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is that right? And all that Jesus was, He poured into the church. These things that I do, shall you do all things also. Even greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You know what's interesting? Is what Brother Branham is saying here, is that, you know, the way that we identify Jesus as, you know, people get mixed up when they say, well, Jesus is God, and, you know, because the power was in Jesus. You know, God was in Jesus, so that body, that makes the body God. No, it doesn't make the body God, but God was in the body. Now, this same scripture tells us that God was not only in His Son, but He will be in us. Therefore, that does not make us God, but it means the very essence of God Himself will be living, breathing out of you. And the power of God will be in His people, His church, His body. And then, of course, we had it in this hour. The prophet of God, not Jesus. He was not Jesus. He was a man, like you and I. Like many of you born in Kentucky. A man of the earth. However, the same God that dwelt in Jesus dwelt in him. Because He is part of that church. He's part of the body. And Brother Branham said there was only one Jesus, one Moses, but he said, but we all have a part of that by being the recipient of that ministry. And so we have a great recipient of what? What was the greatest thing Brother Branham did? Was it miracles or was it teaching? Let me ask you something. Where is the power? The power is in the Word. Is the Word in you? The power is in you. You see? You know, sometimes we live under our privileges, as Brother Branham said. We don't take a hold of the power and the authority that we have living within us. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name. There's power in the Word. And that power dwells in earthen vessels. You see? As we go to 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry,
about ministry? Well, verse 18, chapter 3. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. No tradition, no creeds, an unveiled face. Beholding the glory of the Lord. What's the glory of the Lord? It's the doxa. What's that? The opinion, the assessment, the judgment. In other words, the very mind of God. And he says, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, wow, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice, blinded the minds, not blinded the eyes, but blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There it is. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's just knowing your position, knowing that you are a vessel. And if a vessel, if you could just get yourself out of the way, God can take over. God can use you. God can do things that, look, too many people associate the power and they associate the healing and the miracles with the presence of God. That's true. But Brother Branham also said, God is in his teaching. I'm going to show you that today. Because the greatest attribute of Jesus' ministry outside of being the Lamb, outside of being the obedient Son, was he was a teacher. And every prophet that God ever sent, he sent them to teach the people. You see? So we're talking about then, the evidence of God's presence among us today is that his word is being taught. Now, now this morning, I'd like to continue with who is this Melchizedek. This is number 90 in our series, and we will look at paragraph number 90, where Brother Rand begins to speak of Moses and Elijah, and he begins to talk about Samuel. And I want to focus our thoughts on one particular attribute of these men of God, these prophets of God that William Branham is speaking about, because most people think of a prophet only in terms of one who foretells the future, or one who comes with great miracles. When you think of Moses, you think of miracles. When you think of Elijah, you think of miracles, but you forget that he was a teacher to the people. He came down and taught them the word of God. Elijah came on the scene with a message. Repent or perish. He brought a message to the people. There is one God. They had all 400 the gods or whatever the 400 prophets of Baal had. He came to correct the Godhead, to correct their understanding. He was a teacher. Notice, the spirit of Elijah is to come to restore our hearts. What is the heart? It's the understanding. To restore the understanding, not by miracles. That was only to let you know the one that was there, the message that he had, was vindicated by the very presence of God. But notice then, the presence was not in the miracles. The presence is in the teaching. Now, let's look at this. From 17 weeks of Daniel. Excuse me. First of all, I want to focus our thoughts this morning on one particular attribute of these men of God, these prophets that Brother Branham is speaking of, because most people think of prophet only in terms of foretelling the future, miracles, power, etc. But they fail to recognize these are the men of God, these are the men that God has placed here to declare his message, his teaching, his doctrine. But what we are looking at is the ministry of the Holy Spirit through men, and the main purpose of the visitation of the Holy Spirit is to teach men. Why would Brother Branham say Moses and Elijah and then say Samuel? Show me one miracle Samuel did. Samuel was born to teach, and he taught. Now, from 70 weeks of Daniel, Brother Branham said, but you remember Daniel 12? He said, the wise man shall understand in the last days, It's been given to him. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in, just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand now? So the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him is what Paul looked forward to. The Spirit, the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to come down and teach the hearts of men and restore the hearts of men back. Because remember, the Spirit of Elijah is the Spirit of Christ, Brother Branham said. And the ministry, the purpose of the ministry is to come and teach. And yet people don't want teachers today. They don't want teaching. They don't want doctrine. You see, what do they want? They don't want the same God that we serve. You see? From John 16, verse 13, he says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." In 1 John 2 and 27, He says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." So the very purpose of the Holy Spirit, the ministry, the anointing upon you and in you, is to bring an understanding. From questions and answers, Brother Brown says, someone said not long ago, said, "Why, Brother Brown, we don't need anybody to teach us. When the Holy Ghost comes, we don't need anybody to teach us." Said, "The Bible says that you do not need teaching." And I said, "When? Then why did the same Holy Spirit set in the church teachers?" See? He set the church in order. He was, and he got to have teachers. That's right, but you oughtn't to have anyone. Now, don't have to teach you to say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not swear and take," and you already know that. You're very conscious of the Holy Spirit telling you that it's wrong to do that. But now, as far as scriptural teaching, it takes a Holy Ghost anointed. That's right. And God has set in the church in order. God has set the church in order by apostles and prophets and gifts of healing and miracles and so forth. But He set the church in order and He put the teachers and so forth in there to guide and direct His church. Now, in getting to the message this morning concerning the things that Brother Branham has taught us in the message, "Who is this Melchizedek?" Paragraph 88, he says, "All right, let's take a couple of eagles and look at them for a few minutes. There was a man named Moses." Everyone knows that Moses called an eagle in the Bible. There was a prophet named Moses. And one day God called him and wouldn't let him go over the land, and he died on a rock. And the angels took him away and buried him. And there was another man, an eagle, didn't even have to die. And he just walked across Jordan, and God sent a chariot down and this robe of flesh that he dropped and risen and caught the everlasting prize. 800 years later, that was Elijah, we know. 800 years later, 800 years later on Mount Transfiguration, here stood both those men. Those two men. Moses' body had been rotten for hundreds of years, but there he was in such a form till even Peter, James, and John recognized him. Amen. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, if you're an attribute of God expressed here on earth, you've got a body waiting after you leave this world. There they were standing on Mount Transfiguration in their theophany, for they were prophets to whom the word came to. Now, what's the ministry of Moses and Elijah when it comes back to the Jews? It's to teach. You see? Now, notice that Brother Branham is referring to Moses and Elijah. Now, most people think of Moses and Elijah had, or what they had in common, was that as a prophet of God, they were known for miracles and that accompanied their ministry. But these men had a whole lot more than just miracles in their ministry. The miracles were only God making His own presence among the people known and vindicating that the man had the message from God. They had a message and they were sent to teach the people. They came to teach, to bring the doctrine of God to the people, for the word doctrine means teaching. So these men came with the doctrine of God. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, we read, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord by God in Horeb in the days of the assembly." Now this is Moses speaking, and he says, "There'll be a prophet raised up like unto me." Okay? Now, he says, "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto the words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord thy God hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is, the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now the apostle Paul told us at the end time that God would do so again. And he would raise up a prophet from among the people and put his words in that man's mouth for one purpose, and that is to teach and instruct the people. In fact, in Acts 13, verse 48, Paul says that although a man declare it, he says, God's going to come and do many mighty wonderful things in that day. Though a man declare it, but the people will reject it. All right? Now, in Acts 3 and verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was appointed unto you, whom the heaven will receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things. So here the Apostle Paul is talking from Moses through Samuel. The same type of prophet will come. What's he going to do? He's going to bring a word from God. Because he says, it's not the things, it's not your viewing. You say, oh, good, the glory of God, the miracles of God. Hallelujah, the healing of God. But he says, these guys are going to bring a word. And he says, if you don't hearken to that word, you're lost. You're doomed. So it's a teaching that he's concerned with here. You see? And remember, Brother Brown taught us that hearing is understanding. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, he said, first faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Then the believer hears it, then he recognizes it, and then he acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand it. Looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. So, what does it take then? John talked about an anointing. Remember John said they went out from amongst because they weren't of us? But he says, you have an unction from God that you might know all things. You see? So they go out from the word, they go out from the message, they go out from the presence of the Lord because they don't understand. It comes right back to this. Brother Brown said, if we didn't bypass our theophany, we wouldn't sin. But the fact is, he said, if you had not bypassed your theophany, you would know all things and you wouldn't fall for the error. You wouldn't fall for this flesh. You wouldn't fall for the things of this flesh. And so the very fact is, brother and sister, it's knowledge. It's knowledge. I'm not talking about knowledge like academics. I'm talking about the knowledge of God. You see, grace be multiplied in peace through our Lord Jesus Christ by the knowledge of Him. So it's the knowledge of God that brings you grace and peace, brings you rest. And there's a very turbulent time that we live when the Bible says in the end time, perilous times shall come. People can't even open their mail because perilous times are here. And yet there's a peace and there's a rest for those that are in Goshen. Those that are in the Word, see? Now, alright. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Brown said, he know God was able to keep that which he had performed and were supposed to be children of Abraham. He's talking about how Abraham by faith, you know, recognized what God said. And he said, we're children of Abraham if we have the faith of Abraham. Everything else but God's word is a lie. Look what God said. We look at the unseen. You look at what the mortal eye, the eyes don't see. You don't see with your eyes anyhow. You only look with your eyes, but you see with your heart. You look right at it and say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're seeing it. You see, your seeing is your understanding. So you understand with your heart. From Mark of the Beast, he said, but if you hear the trumpet, see, hearing, faith comes from hearing, by hearing. Now just listen with your ear. But if you hear that, that means that you understand it. You accept it. I hear it. I hear you. I believe you. See, it's hearing. Stephen said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears. See, uncircumcised. They could hear it with the ears, but uncircumcised, they couldn't believe it. See? Uncircumcised in the heart, that's the under, and ears, to understand it. Oh, it's all a mystery to me, like Cain, and take it or leave it, and I joined church, that's as good as I can do. All right, Cain? you'll mark with the beast and go right off into your denomination. But you can come to Christ and be sealed by the Holy Ghost. You can take your choice. Now watch. You hear the gospel trump? What is the gospel trump? The good news. The Holy Ghost is here. How do you know it? Watch its work. See what it does. It's the good news. You know, you drive by these cars all the time, they say, I believe in choice. Well, they've got a choice. They can either believe the Word or they can disbelieve the Word. They got their choice. They've chosen death. One old bag that was driving down the road the other day on my way into town, she had on this thing that says, I believe in, she says, if you can't trust me with choice, how can you trust me with a baby? And as I drove by and looked at that old bag, I thought, well, how could you trust a woman with a baby? You know? I mean, she has no... Can't trust her with any choice. You see? All right. Anyway. Moses, Brother Branham continues, he identified yet another prophet, and that is Samuel. Just like Paul here speaks of Moses, and then Samuel identifying the nature of the man and his ministry with these three prophets, Moses, Elijah, and Samuel. So in paragraph 90, Brother Branham says, also let us notice another prophet one time by the name of Samuel. He was a great man. He taught Israel. So, what did Brother Branham identify with Samuel? He was a teacher. All right? Notice here he places the emphasis on Samuel as a teacher. What did Brother Branham tell us Joshua was? He placed Israel. He was a teacher. You see? Alright. For that is what he is. He did not come with great miracles like Moses and Elijah. No, Samuel. He came in the name of the Lord with a message to teach the people to have a correct relationship with God and how to worship Him correctly. Even Jesus told us that we must be taught or we will never come to God. In John 6 and verse 45, he said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught, all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, notice, and is a conjunction that links two things together. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Now there's a lot of people that are taught, but they don't learn anything. Why? Because they can hear, they can listen, but they can't hear. They can listen, but they can't understand. You see? And Jesus said, every man that hath heard and hath learned comes to the Father. Okay. See, how are you going to learn without first hearing? Then you've got to recognize it, which means it makes sense to you. You understand what it is saying, and then you act upon it. Hearing, recognizing, and then acting, as Brother Branham taught. Now, from the message expectation, Brother Branham says, now, God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of the new birth only alone. Jesus said, except a man be born again of Spirit of God, he cannot enter. He cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now, any Bible scholar here knows that the word see there does not mean to look with your eyes. It means to understand. I look at something or other and I say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look with your eyes, but understand with your heart. That's right. You can't understand it. And no man can know nothing of God until first you're born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said no man can call Jesus Christ. Only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing. And you can't, well, I believe He's the Son of God. If you haven't been born again, you're just taking somebody else's word for it. You say, the Bible said so. That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? You say, well, the preacher said so. The preacher's right, but what about you? Well, mother said so. Mother's right, but what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again or you'll never understand God. Now, some of you kids sitting here scratching your heads and just wondering, you know, well, we're just sitting through church and the preacher is preaching, you know, and he's doing the same thing he always does. He just comes up here and speaks his mouth and blah, blah, blah. Listen, if you truly understand, if you've truly been born again, you will understand what I'm talking about, and it'll set your soul aflame. If your soul is not aflame, I would get to the altar. I would seek God while there's still time to be, to receive His Spirit before it's too late. Because if not, you'll receive the mark of the beast, and you'll go off into perdition. You see? Now, from the message expectation, Brother Ransom, now God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of the new birth. Except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. Now, from 1 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that's mature, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Notice God kept it hidden. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, if we we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what he's saying, look, unless you have the Spirit of God, you've been quickened to it, it's all just words to you. It's all just, you know, something that you don't understand. You don't see it. You don't perceive what's going on. You see? So it takes that new birth. In John 10, verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answering him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Gods, and when the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, you can't just rip it out of your Bible, say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? You see, these guys couldn't make up their mind. They didn't understand. Jesus never said, I am God. He said, I'm the Son of God. And he said, oh, you're making yourself God. It's just like these people. You see, Brother Branham taught, Paul taught, Irenaeus taught, that Jesus is the Son of God. And they say, you're preaching to gods. It's the same mindset, the same mentality. They cannot discern. They cannot discern God's life. Now, what Jesus is saying, look, I say, because I say I'm the Son of God, yet God says, in whom the Word of God comes to, they are gods, little children of God. And Jesus laid it out just like we do. Seed, 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 all the way down. You see? Now, he says, say ye to him whom the Father has sanctified and said in the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do the works of my Father, believe me not. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. Believe the vindication, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Remember Jesus said, it's he that doeth the works. Therefore they sought again to take him up, and he escaped out of their hands. How many times did they want to stone him? How many times did they take him to the edge of the cliff to throw him over, and he just walked through the midst? Jesus was a teacher. And in that role of a teacher, that was the most pronounced ministry that he had in the short 3.5 year ministry. I was talking to a man this week who was he's been a president of his denomination several times over. And he recently left his church to go to the church to a church that taught deeper things from the Word of God. He went from Church of Christ, which Brother Brown said just four letters anti, to being Baptist. Well, he's made a forward step. Alright? Now, there's just not, he said the reason why he left was that, he said, I don't mean to be critical of the pastor, he's been my pastor all these years, but he's just so shallow and he doesn't teach any depth. There's just nothing to help you to dig in deeper. Then he said a remarkable statement, and coming from a man who had been taught so little, he said, just think of the impact Jesus' teaching had on those people. He taught so much in just 3 short years. And I thought, this man, he sees things that even people in this message fail to see. Jesus was above all the Lamb of God, but his role as a teacher had more impact than any other role that he played outside of the Lamb. He was sent by God not to perform miracles, but to teach. And that is a key role of every prophet of God, to teach the people. In John chapter 3, verse 1, we read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And a ruler of the Jews, the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know you're a teacher. And we know you're a teacher from God because God's with you, because the miracles vindicate your teaching. Even the Apostle Paul considered himself above all things to be a teacher. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Even Brother Brown considered the gift to teach the far greater gift in comparison to healing. From why we are not denomination, Brother Brown said, now we've got gifts for healing working. Oh, it's a good thing. it's going good. Well, brothers, there's other gifts. That's just one of them. That's just a little minor thing. Why, here's a far greater gift right here, which would be the best. The gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the Word of God together and to show the church where we're standing than just to get somebody healed. We all want to be well, but I'd rather have my soul well than my body any time. Oh my. A few years ago, Brother Vail took me aside in his living room and he said, Brian, there are people who are saying that when I'm gone, there'll be no more teaching. But as long as the Holy Spirit is in the earth, there will be teaching, for the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And Brother Branham said the same thing from Voice of the Sign. He said, now, let the great teacher of the Word, the Holy Spirit, come upon us tonight and reveal Himself to us and make Himself known unto us by the evidence of His resurrection. Didn't Jesus tell us that when the Holy Ghost would come, He would lead us into all truth? And did not the Apostle John tell us that God gives us a special anointing of the Holy Spirit to know all truth? From the unwelcome Christ, Brother Anson, now we realize that this book has been written in such a way that that is hid from the scholars, the wise and prudent. And you said, he's speaking to God, he's praying, he says, and you said you would reveal it to babes such as would learn. Notice, not babes that won't learn. Babes such as would learn. You see? Now we're willing to learn tonight, and that's why we're here. And we're here expecting the great teacher to come and teach us tonight the things that we should know, the Holy Spirit of God. From Come Let Us Reason Together, Brother Brown said, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. And now help us, Lord, as we come tonight to understand. You're the great teacher. Now help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From Calling Jesus on the Scene, we read, but when a man comes in and tells you he has power to heal you, he's lying. God alone can heal. I'm the Lord thy God who heals all thy diseases. He'll not share his glory with anybody. There's no man has power to heal. But there's men who have gifts to manifest God. I'm going to do that again. But there's men who have gifts to manifest God. Now how can you manifest him when he's not there? See? He says, your pastor, he can take God, by a gift of a teacher, he can explain the Word so that you're bound to see it. If you got any eyes to see with, you'll see it. And there's another one, maybe, some other gift. But there's always a gift that manifests the presence of God, and through there, you yourselves have to believe it. So God manifests His presence through, well, one of those ways is through teaching. Now, let's take the rest of the time this morning and read from the New Testament pertaining to the ministry of Jesus. And I want you to see the main perception of the people was that Jesus was a teacher and they hated Him for what He taught. Because He did not teach it the way that they had learned it. Or the way that they were used to hearing it. Now, from Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, He went up into the mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth, and He taught them. Matthew 5 and verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do also, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same, notice, whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Now the word astonished means they're shocked. They're shocked at His doctrine. You see? For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In Matthew 11, verse 1, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Matthew 13:54. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They couldn't understand how he could know all those things. He's just a carpenter's kid. Matthew 22 and verse 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at His doctrine. Again, Matthew 28 and verse 19. And go ye therefore and teach all nations. He didn't say preach all nations. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, we've got 68 going. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue, and he taught. And they were astonished, again, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as scribes. Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Mark 2:13, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Mark 4:1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them his doctrine. Jesus' ministry was doctrine. Brother Francis, if you don't have a doctrine, you don't have a ministry. He said a church without a doctrine is like a jellyfish without a backbone. In Mark 6:1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Look, it is the teaching that marks men. I remember years ago, a young minister, some of you know him, Brother Luke Gibson. He came on, he had just come out of Pentecost, he'd been in the message for about 2 years, he'd preaching a real Pentecostal type message, but he stood for conviction. I liked Luke because he stood there and he told this one church I happened to be visiting, he told the church, he just basically laid it out, really flat. Wasn't afraid to, didn't pull any punches. So afterwards we talked a little bit, talking about the presence and things, and he got very interested. Well, for about the next 6 months, he was on the phone at least once a week. Had lots and lots of questions, and we'd go over the scriptures, and he'd ask me a scripture, and we'd go through the explanation, and he was a real student. Just really, really got into that word, just study. Next time he came up to that particular church, they couldn't believe it, what he preached. And the pastor got up afterwards and said, my goodness, what's happened to this young man? We see that, that God has gotten a hold of him. Well, it was God. It was the Word of God. So a man is marked by his teaching. Not by how he can get up there and preach and everything else, jump up, on trees, whatever. That doesn't mark the man. It's what he teaches. Brother Brown said, what's the fruit? It's the teaching of the season. You see? That's what places the man or shows where the man is placed. Whether he's true fivefold, whether he's not fivefold. It's what he teaches. It's by his fruits you'll know them, see? Now, notice. And Mark 6:34. In fact, I'll just say this. There's a brother from New Jersey right now. He's a black brother from Kenya. He's been studying the message. He's been going to the website. He said he takes everything. He's concurrent with all of you. And who's this Melchizedek series? He's read them all. He said he read everything on that website. He said, I'm teaching to the people. He said, they're just rejoicing. He said, they're becoming really solid. You see? That's the way God works. God brings a man that's been faithfully taught. I believe Brother Vail was faithfully taught. He was one different from these other guys. They want to go hunting with Brother Vail. Brother Vail came and he was faithfully taught. He shot. He listened to what the prophet said. You see? Then, I believe I've done the same thing. I shut up, I listened to what Brother Vail had to teach. Because Brother Vail said in 156 of the Church Age book, he said, the way that God works in the church, he said, he takes the man. He said, he brings a prophet, he gives that word to the prophet, he teaches that prophet, he gets that prophet aside, he hammers the prophet, whatever he does, he gives that word to the prophet, and the prophet teaches men. And those men who have been faithfully taught take that light, and they go out and they spread it throughout the rest of the world. Now, Brother asked me this week. He asked a question. He said, What is it about elders and, the difference between elders and the fivefold ministry? I said, Brother, a man can be an elder and be a pastor. In other words, elder simply means, according to the Church Age book, elder simply means chronological age in the Lord. The problem we have in this message, as Brother Vail told me, is that you've got a lot of elders who have tried to take positions of a fivefold. And that's where they've gotten into error. What happened? They get a little puffed up because, well, I've been in the message 40 years. I've been in the message 30 years. It doesn't mean you're called to preach. Now, it doesn't mean, though, that a man that's an elder can't preach. But the problem is that a lot of them haven't been faithfully taught because they are not faithful to the teaching. You see, to be faithfully taught takes two things. It takes a faithful teacher, and it takes one who is willing, faithfully willing to listen. And if you don't have it at this end, it doesn't matter how much you got it at this end. You see, no matter how great of a prophet you got and how great of a message you got, if you don't have people that are faithfully willing to be faithfully taught, then what good does it do to have a faithful teacher? But, on the other hand, if you got one who's willing to be faithfully taught, if he sits under the right faithful teacher, he's going to take that same message out, and that same light of God out, and do with it what God wants him to do. You see? Now, that's what I told the brother. I said, the problem is you've got some who are, in fact, in this message I say, the majority of the men who call themselves pastors aren't called to the ministry. They may be elders in the message. They may be apt to teach. But because they haven't faithfully, they haven't been faithful to be faithfully taught, they're in danger of error. Now the difference is God has set in the church a fivefold ministry. God set in the church. But an elder, God didn't set the elder in the church. The church recognized him as an elder. You see? That's like the deacons and things. Nothing against deacons. They're elders in the church. But that's a position that is recognized by the people. This is the man of God. And if that elder, if that deacon or elder is faithful, and he is a faithful person to a faithful teacher, he will be faithful, he will be able to take and teach that word, and it'll do the same, it'll have the same effect as from a fivefold minister. Because it's the same light of God reflecting off that deacon, or off that elder. But if you got an elder who thinks he knows it all, and he rises up, he says, well, I don't need a pastor because I'm going to teach. I've been in this message for 20 years, and I think that I ought to be able to do it. Fine, you go do it. See what happens. So it all comes back to a faithful teacher, a faithful person. As I've always said this right from the time when I was a young man. I said, you're not fit to lead if you're not willing to be led. There's a mentoring process called discipleship in the Bible. And any man of God that's worth his salt in the Bible was mentored by another. John sat under Paul. Paul sat directly under the Holy Spirit himself. But Paul even went to the apostles and said, hey, I want to check up with you guys. The apostles sat under the feet of Jesus for 3.5 years of study, study, study. Word, word, word. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. And they learned. Then Polycarp sat under John. And it's no strange miracle that... who's the next one come along? Irenaeus. Irenaeus sat under Polycarp. Then you had Justin. Then you had Martin. And I believe that one was the uncle of the other. You see, like Brother Bale said, God never just rises some guy up from over here and then takes it on. It's always that inner circle. In Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, they said, Jesus, why do you speak to them on the outside in parables? He said, because it's given to you on the inside to know. There is an inner circle. There is. That's called the trickle-down of God. The faithfully taught. Whew. I get in trouble with some people in this message for saying that, but I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. You think God will raise up a guy from Timbuktu? Listen, all the guys coming out of Timbuktu believe that they're the one that Brother Brown was speaking about. I got some guy wrote me a real lengthy thing from India a few weeks ago. My wife would get mad if I tell it, but I'm going to tell it. Anyway, I wrote him back. I said, I read one sentence, your first sentence. I didn't bother to read through the rest of it. I said, but you're a fool. You're absolutely a fool, because the man said in there that he was there to succeed Brother Branham in his opening sentence, and that he was to correct all the errors of Brother Branham's message. And I just wrote back and said, I don't even bother to read the rest of what you have to say, because you're a fool. Period.
End of discussion. Block sender. That's it. I don't have time to listen to fools. Any man come along and try to say he's Brother Branham's successor? Hogwash. Anybody come along and try to say he's got the real scoop? Forget him. If you're not saying the same thing the prophet of God said, then forget it. Who wants to hear it? You see, he came along, he was vindicated. Jesus came, he was vindicated. Those apostles weren't vindicated, but they had a vindicated teaching. They had a vindicated teacher. They're teaching what the teacher taught. Therefore, they did have a vindicated word. Okay, now. Notice we're looking at Jesus. Mark 6 and verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Mark 10 and 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. Mark 11 and verse 17. He taught them, saying unto them, It is written. Is not it written? My house will be called a house of nations. Called of the nations a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how that they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. They marveled at his doctrine. They were also shocked by it. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding... See, all thy heart, all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly and said unto them, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Jesus Christ is the son of David? David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms of the feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. So Jesus, his ministry was a teach. Luke chapter 4. Another gospel, Luke chapter 4, verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Notice Jesus didn't come with his own words, he came and he read from their word, which was God's word, okay? And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind. He set me at liberty, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness with him, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Why do you think Brother Vail has to go outside this country to get fellowship? Why do you think I have to go outside this country to get fellowship amongst the ministers? I mean, there's a few in this country, just very few. But the majority of them, there's over 400 churches in the message in this country, and there's maybe only a handful of believers that really believe the revelation of what God did bring. A prophet is without honor except among his own people. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, except unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard this, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city,
and led him to the brow of the hill whereunto their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words was with power. Notice, Jesus went from one place to the other, doing what? Teaching. Luke 5, verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. In Luke 6, and 6, and it came to pass, also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. In Luke 11, verse 1, and it came to pass, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. always teaching. If he was praying, they want to know how he's doing it, so he had to teach them how to do it, see? Luke 19, verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple. He taught daily. He taught daily. Not healed daily, not performed miracles daily. He taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to him. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and he preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Now, we'll go to John chapter 6, verse 59. These things saith he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed and believed not, and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you go also? Then Simon answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, but one is the devil? Notice, continually teaching. What did the teaching do? It separates. The more and more he taught, the more it separated. Now, for my stand at the door and knock, Brother Brown said, our Jesus can come right into the midst of the people and perform those very same acts, and what happens? The people will go away and say it's mental telepathy. Or we might be a spiritualist, or he might be a spiritualist, or a fortune teller, or something that's happened in that manner. Oh, if God would open our eyes and let us see what those things are. The door to the eye is in the heart, and it ain't what you see with your eye, that isn't seen, that's looking. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't see with your eyes, you see with your understanding. You look with your eyes and you understand with your heart. So the door of your eyes is in your heart because it's a door of understanding. Oh, I understand that Jesus said that he would do that in the last days. I understand these things are a sign of God. Then how different? How it becomes a reality to you? How things change if our eyes are open? He's with you all the time. He helps you. He's standing at the door daily, but you don't recognize it. And from looking to the unseen, he says, some time ago, the critics used to say that God certainly made a mistake when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. So is he. But later they find out now that God was right. They said a man had no mental faculties in his heart, and that perhaps if God said that his heart, then he meant his head. But God doesn't make mistakes. when he said his heart, he meant his heart. Just like he does all of his other statements. They are perfect and they need no translation. They are just the way that God said them. Not for another age or for another time, but for whosoever, for all, at all times, for God's word is perfect, everlasting, eternal, as he is eternal. So about 4 years ago in Chicago, I was reading a great headline in the paper there, where that the medical science had found a little compartment in the heart of a human being that did not even have a cell in it. It was not found in the animal life. It was only found in the human body, the human heart, and they said it must be the dwelling place of the soul. So then man doesn't think with his heart. So look with your eyes, but you understand with your heart. Look what they said about the, for years and years, they were looking in the wrong place for the place where Israel crossed over the Red Sea. And so they said, well, maybe it didn't mean Red Sea. Maybe it was the Reed Sea, the Sea of Reeds. And so they're spending all their time looking in this water that was about 3 foot deep. When actually where they found it, we had the video, we've seen it, where actually those chariots were strewn all over the place in the bottom. Evidence God in this hour vindicating by scientific evidence His Word. You see? In John 7 and verse 14, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." That's how I know. You see? "If any man will do His will, he will know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no right unrighteousness is in him." No unright wiseness, no unright wise thinking is in him. He's got a correct understanding, you see, because he knows the doctrine. John 7:27. "Howbeit, we know that this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and you know whence I come, and whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because the hour was not yet come." See, every time Jesus talked, he said, "For what work are you going to stone me?" They said, "Not for the works, but for the things that you say. You opened your mouth, you talk, and it's contrary to our teaching." What's the mark, what's the distinction between the 2,000 different denominations we have today? It's teaching. What's the difference between the hundreds of different versions of the message? It's what they teach. Before Brother Graham went off the scene, he turned and he said to some brothers out in Tucson there, he said, "There's over 17 different versions of the message today." Now that was back in 1965. It's what they teach. It's the fruit. John chapter 8 and verse 1. "Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. In John 8 and 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. John 8 and 28, then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things." See, faithfully taught. Alright, John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And John 18:19. "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why asketh me? Ask them what they heard, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." Well, what did he say? He taught them a whole lot. In 3 years, Jesus came on like a barn buster. He came on like a grass fire, just shoo, through the countryside. It says, daily he taught in the temples. Jesus, above all, was a teacher. And the spirit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit,